Well, today we begin a brand new book of the Bible. We come to 1 Samuel today, 1 Samuel chapter 1. And Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth, in Jesus' name, amen. Book of 1 Samuel actually describes the transition of leadership in Israel from the judges to kings. And we'll be looking at three main characters: Samuel, who was the last judge, and the first prophet; Saul, who was the first king of Israel; and David, the one who succeeded Saul. And so we begin in chapter 1, verse 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim, of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroboam, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephraimite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, the name of the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And let me say right off the bat that polygamy was not okay with God, even though it was practiced by certain Bible people. It was not okay any more than any other sins are okay, simply because people do them. Everyone is doing it doesn't make it okay with God. 3. This man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. Hophni and Phinehas were priests, but they were not good people. That did not stop Elkanah and his family from going to the Holy Tabernacle, however. And we should not let bad people who claim to be God's people stop us from doing what God wants us to do. 4. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. This offering was likely the peace offering. And in that case, part of it was burnt unto God. The right shoulder and the breast was given to the priest, and the rest was eaten by those who brought the offering. Verse 5. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah. Elkanah gave Hannah a special portion of food during the sacrificial feast as proof of his special love for her. And we're reminded that if we love someone, we are nice to them. And if we love God, we are nice to him. So he loved Hannah, last part of verse 5, although the Lord had closed her womb. God would not let Hannah conceive because he was preparing her for the birth of a special son. Look at verse 6. And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable, because the Lord had closed her womb. Peninnah would irritate Hannah. If Hannah would even begin to accept her barrenness, Peninnah was right there making her feel sad all over again. It's a very sinful thing to take pleasure in the sadness of others. 7. So it was year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Thanks in part to Peninnah, Hannah was so sad that while others were happy, enjoying a meal, she couldn't even eat. She just cried. 8. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? Elkanah could not figure out why his wife wasn't, or why he wasn't sufficient for his wife, Hannah. After all, he filled the man gap in her life as well as anyone could. And I'm sure that's true. And everyone has gaps, but the only one who can fill all of them is Jesus Christ. He could fill the man gap, but he could not fill the child gap. 9. So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. Hannah did not sit around the dinner table too long. She didn't feel like talking, and she didn't feel like laughing, so she didn't stick around. 10. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed to the Lord, and wept in anguish. She felt alone. Her husband cared. He just didn't understand her sorrow. The only one Hannah could turn to was God. She knew God understood, even if she didn't know why God didn't change things, because he certainly could have. 11. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. Hannah did not want a child just to have a child. She wanted a child who she could dedicate to God. An unselfish motive in prayer is more likely to get an answer. And her answer and her prayer will be answered, as her motives were completely unselfish. 12. And it happened, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Stop there for a second. The Bible says, as anyone among you suffering, let him pray. Hannah is not whining. She is not getting back at her rival Penina. What is she doing? She's praying about her problem. Last part of verse 13. Therefore, Eli thought she was drunk. That's the priest. Saw her praying, thought she was drunk. Hannah was so caught up in God and in prayer that she looked like she was intoxicated. But you know what? She didn't care how she might look. She was too focused on God to even think about that. I'm sure it didn't even enter into her mind. Those who are God-conscious will not be self-conscious. 14. So Eli said to her, how long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. Now this poor woman just can't seem to get a break from anyone. She's picked on by the other wife. She's not understood by her husband. And now she's falsely accused by the priest. 15. But Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord. I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Some people get drunk when they have problems. Smart people tell God about their problems. You know, when you pray about a problem, you have placed it in God's hands. You can still worry about it if you like to, but it won't do you any good. Because once you pray about it, you put it in God's hands. It's still in God's hands, whether you worry about it or not. It does absolutely no good at all. But that's where trust and faith comes in, doesn't it? To pray to give something to God and then to let him handle it and trust that he will do it however he sees fit. 16, do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now. One thing she has is her godly reputation, and she doesn't want to lose that. So she defends herself. She says, I'm not controlled by the devil, which is what base suggests. I'm not smashed. 17, then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition, which you have asked of him. And she said, let your handmaid find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. So she left the dinner table earlier because she had such a burden to pray, remember? And now that she has prayed and has been prayed for, she feels like eating again. She's talked to God, who she knows cares. And so now she has hope, and she has a measure of peace, and that's what prayer will do for you. 19, then they arose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. God remembered Hannah's prayer. God doesn't forget our prayers. He doesn't always say yes right away, and sometimes he says no, but he never forgets anything that we say to him. And that should be a cause for comfort, because if we know that he hears us, we should also know that he cares about us, and he'll do the right thing for us. 20. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked for him from the Lord. She knew that God heard her prayer, and she had not been speaking into the air when she prayed. She knew it. God knows what's going on. He hears prayers. He is aware of us. He is aware of what we're saying. He's aware of our circumstances. 21. Now the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. Paying a vow included worship, and that is one thing God demands, and it is one thing everyone can give him. Sometimes there may be a cost involved, but no one can stop anyone from worshiping God. And that's what he expects. That's a reasonable service. 22, but Hannah did not go up. For she said to her husband, not until the child is weaned, then I will take him, that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever. Hebrew women usually breastfed their children until they were about 3 years old. So Hannah had 3 years with her son before she had to send him off to live with the priests. 23. So Elkanah, her husband, said to her, do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only let the Lord establish his word. Then the woman stayed and nursed her son until she had weaned him. Elkanah trusted his wife's judgment, because he knew her walk with God was solid. Godly people trust godly people, even when they might not understand why they are doing what they are doing. 24. Let's stop right here for today. We'll pick it up in verse 24 next time.